Rob Stein, NPR News.
You're listening to Morning Edition from NPR News.
Guarantee your seats today for the March 10th All-Day Ag Outlook meeting. It's at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. The cost is $25 and includes a continental breakfast and Beef House lunch. Keynoting the day is Sue Martin of Ag and Investment Services, and we'll get a presentation on land values from Murray Wise. And we'll take all of your questions on soybean and corn futures, cash grain, and whatever else is on your mind. Call now for tickets at 217-333-7300. That's 217-333-7300.
Support comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 12th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's Ag Programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold is at AgriGold.com.
Good Thursday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the opening commodity market report. The European Central Bank today says it will purchase Eurozone countries' government bonds, a landmark decision aimed at combating stagnation and ultra-low inflation in a region that has emerged as a top risk to the global economic recovery. Officials kept its main lending rate unchanged at 0.5%, and a separate rate on overnight bank deposits parked with the central bank at -0.2%, meaning banks must pay a fee to keep surplus funds at the ECB. The International Grains Council today pegged global wheat production during 14-15's crop year at 717 million metric tons. That's in line with its previous estimate, but IGC now expects global corn production to hit 992 million tons, a rise of 10 million tons on its previous estimate. The Dow Jones Industrial Average trading 17,477, down 14 points. The NASDAQ 4182, down 0.25 point. The S&P 500 is 2026, now 27.5, and it is up 1 point. Joining us now with a look at agricultural weather is World Weather Incorporated meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Weather conditions across the Midwest are going to continue to be tranquil until later in the weekend, when we'll see a storm system move from northwest to southeast across the region. The storm system will likely produce widespread snow across portions of the area, especially from the eastern Dakotas and Minnesota into Michigan and parts of Ohio as well as Indiana. Snow accumulations could end up being several inches, although the system is a little bit far out in time to get very specific about right now. The storm system will also produce a little wintry mix of precipitation to the south of the heavier snowfall region, including areas from portions of Iowa into southern sections of Indiana as well as Kentucky. Again, this will occur as we get into the weekend, and Sunday and Monday will be the wetter days for most of the region. Now, we'll expect to see a little bit of precipitation occur before that time, but most of the precipitation that occurs is expected to be very brief and light and not likely to have a huge impact on the majority of the region. We will see a disturbance coming across the northern parts of the region first, and that will likely impact the areas mostly from the upper Midwest into the Great Lakes region, and that's going to occur during the latter part of the day today, more likely overnight tonight and into the day on Friday. Just a little dusting of snow, maybe a little wintry mix is possible during that period of time as well. We'll expect another little system to move across the southernmost fringes of the Midwest. This one is part of that U.S. Southern Plains storm that has produced substantial amounts of rain and snow across portions of Oklahoma and Texas in the last 24 to 36 hours. The storm system is expected to stay south of the Ohio River, but portions of Kentucky will likely be impacted by a little wintry mix of precipitation types, mostly occurring as rain. After we get beyond the day Friday, we'll likely find another little disturbance headed for the upper parts of the Midwest as we get into the day on Saturday. This will impact Wisconsin, Michigan, and parts of Ohio and Indiana, but we're not expecting it to have much of an impact overall. The system will be followed by the larger event that I mentioned previously that will come across the eastern Dakotas and head for Ohio and parts of northern Indiana and Michigan with significant snow Sunday into Monday. The temperatures across the Midwest are expected to be mostly warmer biased, but more normal than areas off to the west in the plains. Most of the plain states will see temperatures notably above average for a while, but the Midwest will be looking for highs today running in the 20s and 30s in the Great Lakes region and 30s and 40s across the lower parts of the region. As we go into Friday, we'll look for highs in the 30s and 40s across many areas in the Midwest, and that will continue on Saturday with one or two locations in the southwest corner of the region getting into the lower 50s. We'll expect the temperatures to continue to warm in southernmost parts of the region as we get to Sunday and early Monday, but because of that storm system is going to bring snow to the northern parts of the Midwest late in the weekend, we're likely to see the warming trend come to an end. In the meantime, in South America, it still looks like everybody in Brazil will get rain at one time or another over the next 10 days to 2 weeks. There is going to be an ongoing drier bias, though, in the northeast corner of the country, and there may be a few spots in the southwest as well that might be a little bit drier biased, but we're not expecting it to hurt the production potential. In Argentina, almost everybody will also see rain at one time or another over the next 10 days to 2 weeks, but with that said, we have to be a little more careful there because it does look like the rain will be erratic and light, and temperatures will be warm enough to keep evaporation rates high so that in most areas will still see a net drying tendency over the next 10 days. But remember, Argentina has been quite wet here recently, and the drier bias for a little while will be welcome. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Support for agricultural weather on WILL comes from Busey. Busey is proud to reinvest in our communities, one project at a time, with financial guidance and support to volunteers and community leaders. Busey, your dream, our promise.
Let's see how futures are currently trading. Hard red winter March wheat, 569.5, down 2.75. Soft March, 534.5, down 2.25. March corn, 384, down 4. July, 398.5, down 4. December, 412.25, down 3.25. March soybeans, 981.75, down 1.75. July, 993.25, down 1.25. November, 964.5, down 1.5. March soybean meal, 331.30, up 80. March soybean oil, 32.13, down 28. February live cattle, 154.07.5, up 37.5. January feeders, 216.15, up 45. February lean hogs, 72.90, and they are up 50. Joining us on the phone to talk about the markets is Ellen Dearden of AgriView, and she is in Morton, Illinois. Good morning, Ellen.
Good morning, Dave.
What do you make of the decision of the European Central Bank to start quantitative easing?
Well, I don't think it's any surprise at all. The trade's been talking about it for how long, and really the European bankers have been pretty loudly making hints that it was going to happen. So it shouldn't be any big shakes, but it is a price firming on the U.S. dollar because there'll be flight of more money into our currency away from the euro.
I think we saw a pullback in U.S. government bonds because of it.
Yeah, I think we did too, and no big surprise again, just nothing.
Could it mean more business for U.S. companies and more demand for U.S. workers eventually?
Probably demand for U.S. workers at some point in time, but I'm not sure about the demand for U.S. goods overseas.
We have a frozen pork and beef stocks report due out this afternoon. What are our expectations?
Boy, Dave, I don't know. It looks to me like we're really stockpiling a lot of pork, and particularly even in December, we usually go through a lot of hams, but I think the ham inventory is even going to be large. So this may be showing that the tonnage of pork isn't getting worked through the retail outlets at all.
Is it that end users are at the cache are just taking the fresh pork and instead of the frozen because they're getting a better deal on it?
Yeah, I think that's probably the case. And also, we've seen the export market kind of slip in here, both on the beef and the pork side at the year end.
All right, look at the grains. It is the time of the year I like to call lackluster because there's usually not a lot of scheduled fundamental news that comes out in these months, and the trade is kind of just going up and down choppy.
Yeah, I think the trade's kind of grasping at straws. The funds are still long an awful lot of corn. They've skinnied up their positions, are probably fairly even on the bean side at this stage of the game, but still long the corn. So we've got to get some liquidation here. We've been in a pretty wide sideways trend, both on the corn and the beans. Broke through the bottom side on the beans. The corn's just down towards the low. We'll see a lot of support on March corn in that mid-70s range, mid-370s. But hopefully we can hold today around that 382 area.
Quick comment on soybeans before we let you go.
The bean market looks like it's going to struggle today. We'll be down in the 980 range. However, we see expiration of the February options. Not a lot of interest there, but there's a lot of open interest at the $10 level on these March.
Thank you very much, Ellen. That's Ellen Dearden of Ag Review, and she's in Morton, Illinois. December corn is 412 and a quarter, down 3 1/4. November soybeans are 963 1/2, down 2 1/4. You are listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3 Urbana. It is now 9:01 Central Time.